corridor floor beside her. He had thrown himself through the glass window and landed quite close to her. His body was just a few feet from her. She saw that one leg was bloody, red seeping onto the white trouser leg.
"Harry!"
Her voice cracked strangely. She was terrified. She knew she should not be afraid of this man. That was a disservice to him, a betrayal of her profession, and a loss of some important trust. But she was afraid, nonetheless. Benson looked at her, eyes blank and unseeing. He ran off down the basement corridor.
"Harry, wait!"
"Never mind," Anders said, coming out of the computer room, sprinting after Benson, holding his gun stiffly in his hand. The policeman's posture was absurd. She wanted to laugh. She heard Benson's running footsteps echoing faintly down the tunnel. Then Anders turned a corner, continuing after him. The footsteps blended in staccato echoes. And then she was alone. She got to her feet, dazed, feeling sick. She knew what was going to happen now. Benson, like a trapped animal, would head for one of the emergency exits. As soon as he appeared outside, where it was safe to shoot, the waiting policeman would gun him down. All the exits were covered. There was no possible escape. She didn't want to be there to see it. Instead, she went into the computer room and looked around. The main computer was demolished. Two magnetic tape banks were knocked over. The main control panel was riddled with fine round punctures, and sparks sputtered and dripped from the panel toward the floor. She ought to control that, she thought. It might start a fire. She looked around for a fire extinguisher and saw Benson's axe lying on the carpet in a corner. And then she saw the gun. Curious, she picked it up. It was surprisingly heavy, much heavier than she expected. It felt big and greasy and cold in her hand. She knew Anders had his gun, therefore this must be Benson's gun. She stared at it, oddly, as if it might tell her something about him. From somewhere in the basement there were four gunshots in rapid succession. They echoed through the labyrinthine hospital tunnels. She walked to the broken windows and looked out at the tunnels. She saw nothing, heard nothing. It must be finished, she thought. The sputtering, hissing sound of sparks behind her made her turn. There was also a slapping sound, repetitive and monotonous. She saw that one of the magnetic tape reels had spun out, and the edge of the tape was slapping against the hardware spindle. She went back to the reel and turned it off. She glanced up at one of the display consoles, which was now printing Ermine, over and over. Ermine, Ermine. Then there were two more gunshots, not so distant as the others, and she realized that somehow Benson was still alive, still going. She stood in a corner of the demolished computer room and waited. Another gunshot, very close now. She ducked down behind one of the magnetic tape banks as she heard approaching footsteps. She was aware of the irony. Benson had been hiding behind the computers, and now she was hiding, cowering behind the metal columns, as if they could protect her in some way. She heard someone gasping for breath. The footsteps paused. The door to the computer